These are the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Alan. All right, thank you, Alvin. By the way, I don't know if many of you know Alvin, who just did the scripture reading for us. So he's a student at Georgetown, and I know we have a bunch of college students here. I know there's been a big uptick in our college student population over the last semester. So anyway, I won't ask you guys to stand or anything like that, don't worry. But anyway, without having you guys do something uncomfortable, let me just say we're really happy that you're joining us week by week, and also during the week too. I know you guys are part of like your own small groups with the church, and it's really great. So glad like Alvin was able to read the scripture, and he'll be doing that a few more times. So anyway, we're in this series called A Vision for a Christian Community, looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew 5-7, and we're looking at this one passage today. I have a friend named Daryl, and he recently was speaking to an audience I was in, and he was talking about his father, or his daddy. He's a Southern guy, and he calls his dad like daddy. Anyway, is that some of you guys? Any of you call your dad's daddy? All right, Jane, there you go. And he was talking about how, should I just use a handheld? Is it okay? Yeah, okay. Let me just grab that. She got this one. Thanks. So anyway, so I'm talking about this guy, Daryl, and he is talking to an audience of which I was a part, and he's talking about his dad and how great a dad his father was. And he was saying that his last memory of his dad was when he was 13, and that memory was him kissing him goodnight. And I guess this is something that he did every night for him. And the next morning, his dad passed away. And Daryl had this close friend, and his friend's mom called his mom and said that her son would love to share his dad with Daryl. And Daryl was saying to us in this audience, well, that was a sweet thing to say, but at that time I didn't have any use for his dad. I wanted my dad, my daddy. And he was saying, like, I still called him daddy at age 13. But he went on to say, actually, though, I wish the same thing that my friend wished for me for people who have had not so great fathers. I wish that I could share my daddy with them. That's a really nice sentiment. And maybe some of you have dads like that, and you're like, man, my dad should have had more kids or adopted more kids. He's so great. But this wish is also a very Christ-like or Jesus-like wish, because Jesus actually makes the same wish to us and invites us to share his father with him. And that's a deep core part of what it means to be a Christian. It's to accept Jesus' invitation to share his Father and become with him children of God. Jesus makes it clear over and over that we must know, if we are his followers, that God is our Father. You know, when his disciples ask him, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray the way you pray? He says, well, this is what you say. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. So if you want to pray, if you want to pray to God like I do, start by calling him Father. In Matthew 5, too, this is the section that we're reading, Jesus' vision of Christian community has at its heart this understanding that we are God's children, that we can call God Father just like he does. Maybe this is news to you or news that needs to be refreshed for you. I think that sometimes people will ask, ask a pastor to pray to God on their behalf. Or sometimes you'll hear about, or maybe this is you, asking some person who lived in history, like Mary or St. Patrick, to pray to God on their behalf. And I think that's actually great in some ways because we're part of a family, we're part of a community that includes the living and the dead, and we help each other. But sometimes people do this because they don't think they're good enough to approach the Father themselves as a child. But Jesus says, no, he wants God to be our Father. We can approach our Father. We can hear from him. We can talk to him. We can receive love and tenderness from him. The song that we just sang, like, I belong to you. You set me in your family, calling me your own. That's a way that we can speak to God. That's a way Jesus wants us to talk to God. I mean, if you take a step back, and I mean, maybe you don't even need to take a step back. When you think about those lyrics, I mean, those are just, that's a crazy lyric. Like, that's a way that, I mean, it's so intimate. It's almost like, you know, offensively intimate to be able to say that to somebody, and you're actually saying that to God. But that's actually the way Jesus is teaching us. Like, that's how you approach God. That's how you talk to God. That's the kind of confidence you have when you come to God. God, I belong to you. You're my Father. You set me in your family. And because of what Jesus has done for us, you know, that's what we do. That's what we sing. Now, I'm going to get into Matthew 5:43-48 here in just a second. But just before I do, I think there are two cultural jumps we have to make to understand what Jesus means when he says that Jesus is our Father. All right? Two cultural jumps we have to make. All right? The first jump is that in Jesus' culture, and I'm not talking about like of all time, but I'm talking about 2,000 years ago Palestine. Jesus' culture, who your father was a very big part of who you are. It's a big part of defining you. And this is a little bit foreign to us. I remember talking to this pastor, this is a long time ago, I was talking to this pastor who's Korean, like an immigrant from Korea, and he's much more traditional and much more culturally Korean than I am or I was, which admittedly is not saying much, but he was basically assessing me, and this is a very young pastor, and he asked, well, is your father a pastor? Is your father an elder? Is he a deacon? You know, and I'm like, my dad's a Christian. He's not a pastor for sure. I don't think he was an elder. I'm pretty sure he was a deacon, I'm sure I could not have looked worse to this guy. You're like, what are you talking about? But I'm thinking, like, why are you asking me this question? Like, first of all, like, I could care less about titles. But second of all, what does my dad have to do with me? And this guy's kind of thinking, though, is much closer to that of Jesus' culture. And that's actually one reason why it's hard for, and we read this in the Gospels, why it's hard for people from Jesus' hometown to recognize Jesus as a savior, because they're like, isn't this the son of a carpenter? Isn't this Joseph's son? Because that's how strongly people identify fathers and children, right? Yeah? All right, second cultural jump that we have to make is that for that culture, father meant imitation. So if you were the son of someone, you did what they did. So this could be a job. Like, my dad was a carpenter, so I'm a carpenter. It could even be like a characteristic, not even like an occupation or a job. There's a guy in the early church. His name was Joseph. And this guy encouraged people so much. And I don't think it just means he was like affirming, like, oh, man, like, Paul, you're so good looking, you know. But it was more like he was encouraging them in their faith. And people felt so encouraged by him, they actually gave him a nickname. And it wasn't like Big Joe or Cool Joe. It was, it's Hebrew. It was Bar, which in Hebrew is son or son of, Bar Nabash. And Nabash means encouragement. So they actually called him son of encouragement, Barnabas or Barnabas. And they actually personified encouragement into this guy's father, because that's kind of how they think. And this is a jump for us. We don't usually think of father in terms of imitation. You know, what our parents did for a living has no bearing on what we do for most of us. And actually, culturally, we value being unlike our parents just as much as we value being like them. Not so in Jesus' time. So those are the things to keep in mind here as we look at this passage again. So let's do that. If you have your Bible, or if you have a device that you've downloaded some kind of Bible app on, or if you have like a portable Bible, e-Bible, you can do that. If you have it written on your hand, you can just open up your hand. Anyway, all right, verse 43. All right, verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. But love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Now, we could read that last phrase, so that you may be sons or children of your Father in heaven. We could read that like a means of production, like you do this and then somehow you become children of God. And I think what makes more sense in the context of Jesus' overall vision here is this is living out what you already are. You do this to look like your Father, because the question Jesus is dealing with here isn't how do you become a child of God. The question is, if you're a child of God, what does life look like? And that's what this sermon series is, a vision of Christian community. See, God our Father makes the sun rise on the evil people and the good people. He sends rain to provide vegetation and food for both righteous people and unrighteous people. Let's look like him. He is our Father, so let's look like him. Now, this instruction from Jesus takes, a little bit of a cultural jump. This is quite countercultural, actually. You know, as a parent, I have two kids. As a parent, I'm trying to raise my kids to be Christian kids, like children of the Father, capital F. Not nice kids or like good kids, but Christian kids. And there's a difference. So if you picture a Venn diagram, you go back to your schooling days and like Venn diagram. Do you guys know what a Venn diagram is? Like circles, like concentric sort of, whatever. That's what it's like. There's circles. There's a circle of like good or nice kids, and then there's a circle of Christian kids. And they intersect because like non-Christian kids who are being nice and good share their toys, they're inclusive, they're hospitable, they're respectful to adults. And kids who are being children of the Father, capital F, like Christian kids, do the same. But these circles don't completely overlap. Sometimes being a child of the Father means that you think and act in ways that are different, sometimes challenging, sometimes foolish, to parents of like nice, good kids. And I think this is one of them. See, like broadly in our culture, we think that if people treat us badly, we are justified in treating them badly. It's just kind of how it works. And it's not just something like we sort of do and are resigned to. It's actually like a virtue in some ways. Like it's good to be this way because you don't want to let yourself be walked on. You want to kind of teach these other people kind of a lesson, or you want to make sure that they don't just are held unaccountable for the way they treat you. But this actually happens to people we like know and even love. This happens in a lot of marriages too, because a very basic, and I think unchristian, but a very basic idea people bring into relationships is that it's like 50-50. It's tit for tat. So if you treat me well, like I'll treat you well. Like you do the dishes, then I'll do the laundry. You know, if you treat me badly, then I can treat you badly. If you're mean to me, I can be mean to you. And that's just kind of how we think. And it's kind of like this 50-50 thing. It doesn't really work because we love ourselves so much generally that it's in our minds, it's always like 60-40 or like 70-30, you know, and we get frustrated, you know, because we each think we're doing more than the other. Anyway. But Jesus says, don't be like that. Instead, look like your Father. All right, I'm going to jump to the end here of the passage, verse 48, this last sentence. Jesus says, you therefore, you children of the Father, you beloved children of the Father, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, perfect, that word perfect is the way many translators of the Bible translate this Greek word, and this New Testament is originally written in Greek, and there's this word teleos that gets translated perfect here. And teleos can mean perfect, like flawless, sinless, but the central idea of the word is maturity or completeness. So sometimes you'll see the word teleos translated simply as mature. There's another translation in the Bible. We're using the English Standard Version. There's another translation called the Message, and it translates be teleos as grow up. Is Jesus saying here, like, you have to be flawless, you have to be sinless? I don't think so, since, well, right after this in chapter 6, he talks about how we need to be forgiven. So if it's not that, then what does it mean for us to be teleos? What does it mean that God is teleos? Well, yeah, he's perfect and sinless, but I think the point here in this passage about us looking like our Father is this. God doesn't go halfway with his goodness, or only up to the letter of the law, and neither do we. Right? God gives it wholly. He doesn't discriminate with his goodness. So instead of being good just to people who are good to you, be good to people who are not good to you. Who are not good to you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. That's what Jesus says. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, but I'm saying, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Be kind and generous to people who annoy you. Be kind to people who mistreat you. Do good to people who don't like you. It's like, somebody give me an amen. All right. I'm saying that sort of ironically, but sort of not. All right. Do good to people who don't like you. Be warm toward people whose views and lifestyles even condemn yours. Be generous toward people whom you consider an enemy. You know, be kind to your parents, like your human parents. Be kind to your human parents, not because they're so great or understanding all the time or they never wound you, but because your Father is kind to the deserving and undeserving. Be patient with your children. Not because they're so pleasant and patient. You know, it's, I mean, they're not. Maybe some. I mean, Kyung, maybe your kids are. Kyung's parents. Kyung's kids are. But for the rest of our kids, no, they're not. But it's not because of them that we're patient with them, but because our Father is patient to the deserving and undeserving. Be patient with your bosses, your colleagues, your people you oversee, not because they're always so great to work with, but because your Father is patient with the deserving and undeserving. Pray for people who oppose you. Pray for people who make your life harder, because your Father shows kindness to those who are with him and those who are against him. And Jesus gives this very plain example of how our Father is like this. It's a very simple example of how our Father is like this. He says, it's like this. Sun comes up, and the sun shines on everybody. Right? He makes this scenario. He says, like, there's like a good person and a bad person. So you can just imagine that. There's a good person and a bad person. And it's not like the sun is just shining just on like the good person, and you can like, oh, it's like lighting and see everything, and then the person who's like bad is in like in utter darkness. That's not how the world works. I mean, that's silliness. That's actually, you know, I think Jesus is Jesus' messages, like his teaching, I think a lot of times they were funny. So sometimes it doesn't come across as funny in the way we read it, but I think it's funny because this is absurd. You know, he's painting an absurd picture, but I don't think when he's talking, it's like, people are like, yes, yes, very absurd. I think actually it's probably pretty funny. People are probably cracking up, like, ha, 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 yes, nuts. That is just silliness. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, God's not like that. You know, it's like a garden, and there's a garden that I have and then a garden that my neighbor has, and then this garden just has all this rain pouring on it, and it's like all flourishing, and then like literally right next to like 2 feet over, this other garden is like bone dry. I mean, that's not how the world is. And Jesus is saying, see, God gives the sun to the good and the bad, the deserving and the undeserving. God gives rain to the deserving and the undeserving. that's how God is. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells a story about a father. And the story, the gist of the story, Jesus says, is God the Father is like this father I'm telling you about. So in this story, this father has two sons. And one son's this great, awesome son. And the other son is not. And this not awesome son asks his father for his portion of the inheritance so that he can leave home, just because he can't stand living at home anymore and he just can't wait till his dad dies. And he says, can you just give me my inheritance now so I can get out of here? And when he asks, the father astonishingly gives it to him. And there's this old song that retells the story, and the song has his father saying, basically paraphrasing the words of Jesus' story, he says, my son, I've always tried my best for you. But if you must be leaving home, then go with the blessing of God. And Jesus says, God is a father like that. I always try my best for you. This is who God our Father is. He's a very big-hearted God. He's not like incomplete. He's not unteleos. He doesn't just give goodness to certain people. He doesn't discriminate like that. And Jesus is telling us, look like your Father. And you know who is a really good imitator of our Father this way? Is our older brother, Jesus. And he let himself be killed on a cross for us, even though he was innocent, even though he was without any reason for shame in himself. And he didn't die for us when we were at our best. He died for us, as Paul says in Romans, at the peak of our sin. The time when our shame was ripest and fullest. Paul says he died for us at just the right time. See, this is the thing. Christians are kind, but they're not, I mean, I think generally Christians are kind. But they're not kind because they're just so into certain virtues, because they're so, like, moral people. Like, Christians are patient, but I don't think they're patient because, you know, they just somehow often have patient personalities or they listen to Light FM or something like that. No, it's because their father is patient. They're kind and patient because, you know, when they try to define themselves, when they're thinking about who am I, yeah, they think, okay, I define myself by my job, like my spouse if I'm married, like my state that I'm from, the country I'm from. I define myself by my life experiences, like maybe positive experiences or even negative experiences, like things that I hold on to tightly. Those define me, my sexuality. Like, all these are bricks for building identity. And Christians are the same, just like everyone else, yeah. But more important, more deeply fundamental than all these things for understanding themselves is that God is their Father. That God loves them so much that he would send Jesus to die for them. That God loves them so much that he's going to resurrect them to live in the world he's going to recreate. God loves them so much that he gives them his spirit to live with them and in them every moment until Jesus returns to make the world new again. That's why Christians act like this. So with Matthew 5, it's not like a moral teaching, like a great moral teacher, like, hey, you know, this is a great way to live. Live like this, you know, be kind to your enemies. He's basing it on the fact that we are God's children. You imitate your dad. You imitate your father. Who your father is makes all the difference in who you are. But maybe you're a Christian and you're like, well, I struggle with this. Like, honestly, I struggle with this because I don't look much like our father in this way. And if I'm being really honest with myself, I'm much more a person who just treats people the way they treat me. And I thank you for your honesty with yourself, I guess. But I think in this case, well, then there's just something wrong. But I think all of us can say this to one degree or another. But we're not hopeless. And I think what might be wrong is that we just don't know the Father too well. And again, I think all of us can say this to one degree or another. But then, if this is our problem, then how do we get to know the Father better? And I think we actually have some guidance in this passage. And I just want to talk about one piece that we see here. Jesus says in verse 44, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, our prayer is in some ways an expression of our love or a manifestation of our love. But it's also something else. It's also the formation of our love. Prayer is where our love gets formed. Like when we pray to the Father with the attitude, I want to look like you. I want to think like you. I want to treat people like you do. It actually gets formed in us as we pray. You know how like when you spend time, especially quality, unhurried time, with people or with someone, you end up acting like them? Like even if you don't really intend to or you don't even want it, but it sort of happens. You know, it's no different when we spend time with God. You spend quality, unhurried time with God, you'll end up becoming more like him. You know, so I urge you, I encourage you, spend time praying. Spend time praying alone. Spend time praying with other people when there are opportunities, like with a small group, if you're part of a small group. Like on Tuesday evenings with the church, we have these 8 o'clock prayer meetings every Tuesday. Come to worship on Sundays. And this is actually why we meet every Sunday. Not because there's some rule about attending worship once a week, but because we want to know and experience God, and we want to be shaped. We want to be shaped by him. You know, in this way, going to the church is like going to the gym. Like you don't go to the gym because you're so fit. I don't know, maybe some of you do. I don't know. You just want to shame other people. I don't know. No, but mostly, you go to the gym because you want to get fit. You get formed there as a fit person. And in the same way, when we come to worship with the church, it's not just because, we love God, but it's because we want love of God to be formed in us. Like, we need to be here. Like, when you think about going to the gym, it's not just like, oh, I love going to the gym. Maybe you do. But even if you love going to the gym, it's also, I need to go to the gym. And the same way, like, oh, yeah, I love going to church. And, yeah, God bless you. I love going to church. But at the same time, it's not just I love going to church. It's I need to be with the church because I need to be formed. This is a way I get formed. I need to be more like Jesus. I need to be more like my Father. I love my, you know, my Father is so great. Our Father is so great. And the way he treats people, it's so great. And I can't even begin to describe like how great his ways are. But I want that to be me too. I want to imitate him. I want his ways to be my ways. And I know it's not just going to happen by magic. You know, but I know that he forms that in me. He forms that in me. And he forms that through his spirit. He forms that through all kinds of ways. One of the ways he forms that is by us spending that time with him. Alone, spending that time with him together. God actually does this stuff in us. And that's why, by the way, like I strongly urge you to like come to services. You know, like I don't think there's some like rule like you have to come to church every week or more than once a week or whatever. I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. I don't really think there is. But even when I'm on vacation or something, like I'm like looking for a church, not because Carl, you got to find a church somewhere, you know. Whatever. I don't know. Something's bad. Something's bad about you. It's not like that. It's just. Man, I need it. Like, I want to be formed, you know? It's like, you know, speaking of churches as gyms, I guess, you know, like a lot of hotels, if you're traveling, hotels have, like, little gyms. You know, but, like, it's just like two treadmills. It's like, we have a gym. It's like two treadmills. But it's like at least, like, throwing us a bone. It's like, all right, like, I need something. And in the same way, I guess, you could, you know, if hotels were, like, Christian hotels, they'd have like a place of worship. We have these services and stuff because we want to be formed. We want to grow, you know. And so I encourage you, like, come to service. Come to service like every week, you know. And again, not because of some rule, but because we need this. It's so helpful for us. And, you know, we don't come here just for like an information download, but we come here for an experience. We come here to be shaped by like God's very presence, and that's what is happening here when we're together. You know, I encourage you guys to be here like earlier on time. You know, we start at 11:30, but I mean, really for a full experience, you know, because like you want to say hi to people, you know, you want to you know, be semi-friendly. You want to get a name tag. If you have a kid, you have to register them and all that. So really, I guess it means being here more like at 11:20 or something like that. But the idea is, again, not like, oh, I love this and da-da-da, or I'm supposed to do this, but it's also, I need this. And I know God is forming me as we spend this time together. Anyway, I want to go back to this person that I talked to at the beginning, this guy Daryl, who was talking about his own father, saying to people who had bad experiences, talking about his own father and saying to people who had bad experiences with their fathers, like, I wish I could give you my daddy. And as I said earlier, this is exactly what Jesus gives to us. And I encourage you, let's receive that today. If you've never really received this, if that's just pretty foreign to you, God invites you to do that now. You receive it. If you need to receive this afresh, receive it anew, God invites you to do that too. And for others, if you want your hunger for God to be stoked, you know, you want to be formed in prayer as you spend time with God. And, you know, you can just say, God, Father, I'm hungry for you. Yeah, I want to be like you. Shape me. As I pray, shape me. Form that stuff in me. So again, I'm just going to close this here, and I'm going to give everyone, you know, like 30 seconds to a minute or so. Just use your own words. If you're not sure the words to use, that's fine. I'll give you some words right here. If you just want to say, God, you know, it's weird for me to think of you as Father, or it's become weird. I don't want it to be that way, because I know you don't want it to be that way. So I'm telling you, God, you are my Father, and I am your child. It's a very simple prayer. Like, God, you are my Father, and I'm your child. And I'm thankful that I belong to you like that. And then for those of us who just, you know, you're like, yeah, I want that hunger. I want to be more like my Father. Say that, Lord, I'm hungry for that. Lord, I want, Father, to be more like you. Shape me in your presence. You know, shape me to be that way. And I'll just give you a little bit more time, and I'll close this with a prayer. Father, we belong to you, and we are your children. We are glad to be your children. And Father, we want to look like you. Lord, we really want to look like you. And with inside a culture that that's more about treating people the way they treat us, Father, we want to be like you. And Father God, we want to be complete in love like you, not discriminating. Lord, not being choosy with who we are kind to, not building up walls. But Lord, being like you, Father, who is so generous and kind without discrimination. Father God, right now, over the next like 5-10 minutes here we have left in the service together, as we're speaking to you now, Father, form us, shape us. Father God, shape us, form us. Let us be like you. Let us look like you, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Right, we're going to close with a song. And as we do, we're going to collect an offering.
I want to love you. all to you.
As we close, receive this benediction. May the Father, our Father of generous love, may the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, may the comfort of being united constantly to His Son, Jesus Christ, be with us always. And Lord, as we go forth from here, we are sent, Lord. And we go forth from here refreshed in Your love, Father God, and wanting to seek You and show Your love to other people. And in Christ's name we pray, amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. Please stick around and say hello to some